Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So blessed to be a part of the service today. Several announcements we'd like to make as we get started. First one, we would like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that are the pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take these pew pads and write your name down, check the appropriate boxes and give us some contact information. That would be very helpful for us. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on the pews that's on your pew. Once we ask, when it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started today, that would be very helpful. Also, when it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that'll help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. Some of you are fanning today. It is not a ploy of the pastor to get you motivated to stay away from hell. I don't think that's part of the ploy for today. The air condition just got started late, so hopefully it'll work a little bit better here in a little while. So we are aware of the problem. Couple of notes that we'll make. Children's time today, right after the first hymn. Also, day camp. For preschool continues this week. Also, our children, our elementary day camp signups are currently going on. I want you to make note of that. Our youth are headed to Carowinds on Thursday. Let's see. Wednesday night, we have our Wednesday night series, Facing Unknown Storms. This week, we'll start with salad and sandwiches at 6:30, and then have the Bible study following. I think I did that order right. Just want you to know that there's programming there for preschoolers and children and the entire family that evening. Big Raj, got an announcement.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good
morning. That's great. Well, I'm here to report that we have a house dried in, vinyl siding on it, and the decks are on. We did everything we could do to move it along as far as we could. We're going to try to put a team together to go back down and hang sheetrock one Saturday very soon. So if you can join us for that, if you'll let me know, I'd like to start that list. We had a phenomenal week. I cannot tell you what a wonderful, wonderful job our young people did. They just absolutely stepped up and did more and more and more than we expected of them. They were great. Thank you, young people, for starting this project and now to move in and keep it moving. All the rest of you, we want to thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Roger. It was a fabulous week, and thankful for all the people that provided prayers and food and work, and for the leadership. I'm very thankful for all the effort that went into making this year's project successful. But I'm very, very thankful for how God he multiplied all those efforts, and ultimately he gets the credit for what happened, and very thankful to him and to how he interceded, and it was a great, great week. We want to say a special welcome this morning to our guests. We thank you for being a part of worship today. We would like to give something to you. You've already given us your information on those pew pads, and we're thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers will recognize you, and we'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for your presence today. If you've ever been to Greenville, Winterville area, you know how hot it can be. I'm telling you what, it was hot, especially on that roof, especially on that roof. And we spent a day and a half working on that roof, getting everything, well, probably closer to 2 days by the time we were doing the trusses and getting the sheets of plywood up. Some of the team got up there at 5:30 in the morning and worked till well into the afternoon. But I tell you, there's nothing like the feeling of that last nail going in that roof. That moment when you know the job is done. There's a sense of, it's an overwhelming emotion, especially when you have given your energy and your sweat and all of your strength. And I was reminded this week that there is a limit to my strength. There is a limit to my energy. There is a point why I have to sleep. Otherwise, bad things could happen. But I'm reminded, God spoke to me in that little truth, that I will never fail you. The God who created us is immune to being tired. He does not falter. He does not stop loving us. He does not stop being near us. His strength is perfect, and he provides it to us. And that's the strength you and I need to rely on, not our own strength, because it will fail, but to rely on him for eternity. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, as we've heard the choir sing this morning, great is the Lord. I don't think we can say that enough. Great are you, Lord. I don't think we understand the power of that truth. Great are you, Lord. Help us today to let go of all these things that have burdened us, held us back, where we haven't had faith that you were great and you could get us through whatever this world throws at us. Help us this morning that as we sing, as we pray, as we listen, as we learn, as we worship you, to be reminded once again, great are you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. Okay, now, I know, Jared, are you this way? Jared, look this way, buddy. He snuck up on you, didn't he? Okay, I know the group that I'm going to ask this question to, but I'm going to ask anyway. Y'all be praying for me, okay? Just go ahead and start praying. All right, have you ever had one of those days where you just couldn't do anything right? No, Avi, I know better than that. All right. Okay. Have you ever had one of those days when whatever you did, even if you tried the hardest, somebody was mad at you or they were fussing at you or they looked at you funny? Have you ever had one of those days? Those aren't fun days, are they? No. Do what? All the time it happens to Caleb. Okay, it happens, right? I didn't make that up. He said that. Okay, can y'all come sit right over here? Can y'all sit right here? Thank you. Now, did you know that Jesus had one of those days? Do you know he did? That was one, but there was a story that Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning where Jesus went back to his hometown, where he grew up, where he got big and strong and went to school. Well, Jesus went back there, and he tried to teach the people what the Bible was telling, what God was saying through the Bible. And here these people were. They said, "What? Who do you think you are? We know who you are. We know how many times you fell and you bumped your knee. We know we were the ones that taught you. Who are you to tell us what God is trying to teach us?" Some days, we just can't do anything right. Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Avi, I need you to be still. Yeah? Your gun blows up? That's a bad day when your gun blows up. You know? But here's what I want you to understand. Everybody's looking this way. Everybody's looking this way. Jared, you're looking this way. Drew, you're looking this way. Girls, we're looking this way. Here's the thing. Even Jesus knows when you have one of those bad days. So guess what? The next time you have a bad day, I want you to pray and say, "Jesus, I know that you know how it feels when you can't do anything right. Help me to have the right words, the right attitudes, and I'm going to trust in you to always do the right thing, even when everybody around me says I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm going to trust in you." That's the lesson that we learn from Jesus today. Even when all the people around us say that we're no good, when we follow Jesus and do what he wants, then God is happy. And God being happy is the only one we need to worry about. Okay? Can you pray with me? God, we love you. And we thank you that even Jesus knows when about the time when he was trying to do something right and the people around him fussed at him. He knows what it feels like when we try to do the right thing and it just doesn't work out. Give us the strength to keep believing in you and not stop following you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now, okay?
This morning, our scripture passages for reading come from the Revised Common Lectionary, which I know we've said in the past, but just as a reminder, the way the lectionary works is it covers key passages of Scripture, key concepts over several years, and it kind of rotates through. So whenever I make reference to say this is our lectionary reading, that's kind of the concept. From the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 5, we'll read a few verses, and then we'll turn over to Psalm 123 and read Psalm 123. I invite you, if you have an opportunity to take your Bible, or if you didn't bring your Bible, there should be one there close by in the pew. I invite you to join with us as we read. 2 Samuel chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them, a covenant with them, an agreement with them, if you will, before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. So now we turn over to Psalm 123. And we hear these words. "I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slave look into the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant." Human emotions that are placed in Scripture to help us understand that we serve a God who loves us, who understands us, who knit our very fabric together. So as we join our hearts together, we know that he knows us. He knows our hearts and our thoughts. Let's pray to him. Dear Father, you know our frustrations. You know our points of weakness. You know our hurts. And so when we come to you and pour ourselves out to you, there are no surprises. Father, the thing that's most surprising is that you continue to hear our complaints and our whining, and you still have patience with us. You touch us at the point of our need. You heal us at the point of our hurts. And God, we thank you for that, and we praise you for that. God, we thank you for the week that we've experienced together, whether it be here in Winston-Salem or in Winterville. Father, we know that your work has continued to take place, not just in those two locations, but all around the world, as believers have worked to let others know about your love and your compassion, and your grace, and your mercy, and your peace. Father, we pray that you would continue to use us as instruments of your peace so that where we go, your Spirit would accompany us. And as your Spirit accompanies us, it guides us and leads us, corrects us, gives us encouragement to be the hands and feet of Christ to a world who desperately needs to see the gospel at work. Father, we pray for those this week who have lost loved ones. We know even in our church body, we have members who have lost loved ones, grandparents, friends. We know that even now there are many of our members that are hurting. There are those that prognosis does not look particularly good for the future here on earth. But we know that our future ultimately is with you. And that's the reason we come to you with hope, understanding how much you love us and what you've provided for us. But Father, until we're able to be in your full presence, gathered around the throne, we pray that you would strengthen us for the work that you have for us here. That even as we've been saved to serve, Father, that you've provided the power and the source and the strength that we need to serve you here in this place. And we thank you for that privilege. God, we pray that as we care for one another and as we care for those who are hurting, that we would do so in a way that would give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Last Wednesday, we had the opportunity to enjoy another 4th of July. Our Independence Day is a day to celebrate our country and to think about those whose efforts led to our freedoms. It's more than just cookouts and fireworks. It's an opportunity to really be thankful for what we share in this country. We're entering a very interesting time called a political campaign where we'll be bombarded with negative ads. The shortcomings of our country will be pointed out to us. Let us not forget the many good things we have in our life. We are truly blessed. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we love you. We gather today to offer you praise and thanksgiving. It's so easy to focus on our problems and to take for granted the many good things in our lives. We thank you for our families, our friends, and our country. We thank you for the food we eat, our shelter at night, the relative ease we enjoy in getting from one place to another, and especially for the security to expect that we'll be safe in our own homes. What a glorious opportunity it is for each of us to recognize all of the many blessings that surround us daily and to not lose focus as we face the challenges of life. Help us to realize that not everyone shares that same sense of security and to reach out to those who need encouragement and assistance. We ask that you bless this church and this congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country, guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
The choir's fanning away up here. I debated before I came this morning whether to wear the blue seersucker or the cream linen. I think I chose wrong. It's still much cooler in here, though, than it was in Greenville this week. Amen from those who went? Yes, but it was a beautiful week. God was good, kept the rains away. The work was done, and it was great fellowship. Great fellowship. And I invite you, as Roger announces in the future about work teams, to go down to work. That's a beautiful opportunity for those that maybe couldn't take a couple of days off during the week to go be part of a weekend experience on Saturday and go down and work. I'm looking forward to that, being a part of what's going on down there. So last week, we kind of read a passage of scripture from Luke chapter 4. And today is actually the parallel passage for that in Mark that I referenced last week. And we're going to take a quick look at that. In your bulletin, it says 1 through 6, and as is often the case, I change my mind after they printed a bulletin. So we're actually going to read the first 13 verses of Mark chapter 6. And it starts like this. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. Now remember, everywhere just about Jesus went, his disciples went. And it drew a lot of attention, so just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. The New Revised Standard Version translates that astounded. They were astounded. Where did this man get these things, they ask. In other words, isn't that Joseph's boy? Wait a minute. The carpenter? Where did this man get these things, they ask? What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Here it is. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's boy? Isn't this Mary's son? And the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, aren't those his sisters right over there? And they took offense at him. Now, let me pause here for just a minute. They took offense, and you can read about it a little bit more in depth in Luke chapter 4. Because in Luke chapter 4, it explains kind of why he stood up to teach. And in doing so, he read a messianic passage from Isaiah. And then in the ensuing comments, basically he said, what you're reading, what you're hearing, that's me. And so when it says, and they took offense at him, that may be one of the biggest understatements in Scripture, because in Luke, it gives us the details. They ran him out onto a cliff. They were going to throw him off the cliff. They at least took offense. They were very agitated at what he had to say. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. And they went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. I can imagine the scene. Young man, you need to watch your tone of voice. We taught you better than that. Just who do you think you are? You can't just come in here and talk to us that way. Show some respect for your elders. That was probably what was going on. Jesus had been away for a while. And while some reluctantly maybe would admit that he had something special going on, his teaching was powerful. He had done some pretty special things. In their minds, that still did not give him any right to talk to them in that way. This passage of Scripture, ironically enough, is, again, as I said, included in all three synoptic gospels. There's something important here. We know one of the things from last week, I brought it out. Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. In other words, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. So for those who would argue, well, I can be a Christian and not have to go to church, I look back at this passage and say, well, yeah, you can, but I don't think it's a good plan. If Jesus saw the need to be in God's house on the Sabbath, what are we thinking when we offer excuses not to be? It also says his teaching was astounding. It didn't say, you know, the choir special was good, but that sermon was even better. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, well, you know, he brought out some good points. All in all, it was a pretty good sermon. It says it was astounding. That's a strong statement. It was amazing. The people were amazed. The people in attendance could not figure out where it came from. I mean, he's the son of a carpenter. Where did it come from? You see, but as is often the case, we get wrapped up. We are so focused on the humanity of the situation that we miss the voice, we miss the hand of God. They were so wrapped up in astounding, in human terms, that they ended up in the same place that we do when we get absorbed in our humanity and we reject the very presence of God. And what is the result of that? What is the result of our rejection of God's presence? Well, it tells us in verse 5 and 6. He couldn't do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. As Mary and I chuckle over this passage of Scripture, it's kind of a staff joke. Well, yeah, he couldn't do any miracles except heal some people. That's pretty good. But by his standards, that was really kind of a withdrawal. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So, preacher, are you telling me that the work of God can be limited by our faith? No, I'm not. Scripture is. Says it right there. Scripture tells us that. The people, translation us, because don't put yourself at distance from the people there. We're the same. You know, translation us. We are so wrapped up in the human stories of Jesus that we miss the touch of God. And it started so innocently. 2,000 years ago, when this story was unfolded, I imagine it started very innocently. Jesus, we know you from way back when, okay? You can be real with us, okay? You can cut the act. We knew you when. We changed your diapers. Your same flesh and blood as us. We know what kind of kid you were. Good boy. But we wiped your nose. We wiped your nose before you knew how to do it for yourself. We were the ones that helped you find the lost toys, remember? We were the ones that helped you find those things. Remember when you fell and scraped your knee? I'm the one who washed it off. I'm the one who washed it off for you, and I was the one that held you till you stopped crying. Do you remember the time when you gave yourself a black eye when you fell off the side of the house? Yeah, I remember that. I'm the one that dried your tears. And just how many splinters do you think I removed from your finger? You can't count them. There's so many of them. And besides that, Jesus, your teachers are here too. Your teachers are here. They taught you numbers. They taught you letters. They helped you memorize Bible verses and prayers. Almost everyone here remembers the time that you stood up for the very first time in the synagogue and you spoke. You spoke so softly we could barely hear you because you were a little bit apprehensive. You were a little bit scared. We understand that. And we all expected so much more from you. But now you come in here and you tell us these things about how you think we need to change. Who do you think you are? We think that you've developed just a little bit too high of opinion of yourself. How dare you tell us that you think that we're doing something wrong here? Aren't you at all thankful for the way that you've been raised? You can't come in here and say those kind of things to us and expect us to listen to that politely. Change. Change. It's a good thing it wasn't a Baptist church. He couldn't even say the word in there. Change. Who do you think you are? Repent. Why should we? Judge not, Jesus. Judge not. Repent. Who is it that told you to tell us? By what authority do you think that you can tell us to change our ways? If they didn't say it out loud, they were probably thinking it. And because of their lack of faith, God's blessings were withheld. My first full-time ministry position out of seminary was in Paragould, Arkansas. And we got out of there as quick as we could. Just kidding. Lana, Jason, y'all aren't here this morning, are you? Okay. Lana was one of my youth at Paragould. Beautiful, beautiful parents and great kids up there. But as we were leaving Arkansas, we were talking with a church in my hometown. It's First Baptist Church, East Flat Rock, which is in Hendersonville. And one of the factors that weighed heavily on my mind while I was praying about this potential move was this story from Scripture. Now, if Jesus couldn't pull off a ministry in his hometown, what in the world made me think that I could? You understand what I'm saying? Now, granted, we aren't comparing apples to apples here, but I knew that some of the principles were still applicable. And I was comforted a little bit by the fact that most churches really don't see youth ministers as real ministers anyway. They're just kind of like babysitters. So, you know, Jeff knows what I'm talking about there. You know, and so I'm thinking, well, you know, okay, maybe I can still have a ministry here because I'm not a real minister yet. I'm just a youth minister. But in praying about it and seeking the counsel of those that I respected in ministry, I came to a place where not only did I have peace about this move, but I really felt like that's what God wanted. That's really what he had put in my place. And that's what he wanted for me. And looking back on those 5.5, almost 6 years in East Flat Rock, I have been so blessed to see young men and women who have grown in their knowledge of the Lord. There are associate pastors and pastors and youth ministers that came out of that ministry, young men and women who are involved in ministry and lay leadership in their churches, fully engaged, just great young people. And I'm proud to be a part of their life, and it was a fruitful time, and I don't have any doubts about any of that. But I can tell you that I did experience some of the dynamic at work here in this story for this reason. Although East Flat Rock was not my home church, it was in my hometown. And I had attended junior high and high school with a lot of people that were leaders in this church. And they knew me in high school. I'll leave it right there. I was also well known in the community, was really involved in community activities, had friends all over the county. Now, some would argue that gave me an advantage. That would give me the relational equity to really bring about necessary changes in the church and maximize my ministry. That may sound good in a textbook for corporate networking, but church is different, especially Baptist churches. They're very different. And see, what I found in my years there, especially toward the end of my years, that it worked in some regards against me because I became dependent on who I knew in an earthly sense. If someone needed something, they would call me and they'd say, Raymond, we need a guy that can do this. No problem, got a Rolodex. That's still when we had Rolodex. I got a guy that can do that. Raymond, we need a lady that could, I got a friend, I went to high school with her, we're tight, she'll do that for you. Anybody had a problem, call Raymond, he's got a guy that can do that for you. He's got a gal that can do that for you. And about 5 years in, I began thinking, God, I guess I've cut you out of this deal. I've got a guy that can do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the humanity of ministry that we get ahead of God or we decide we don't even need him. And that's, We may think that's a good place to be, but it really isn't. If you stop and think about the dynamic, think about the implications of working in ministry in that way. Without any specifics, let me just tell you that there were many times when I had to shake the dust off my feet, even in my hometown. And part of that is because the gospel is confrontational by nature. Because we are confronted with the reality that God loves us so much and desires a relationship with us, and that relationship should conform us to His image. In other words, our relationship with God, although it's a relationship that's based on love and acceptance, should change us so that we look and we act more like Him, not like our old selves. That truth is what people/we resist. You see, we want freedom without accountability. We want power without holiness. We are selfish, and God is calling us to selflessness. We are self-dependent. We got a guy that can do that. We are self-dependent instead of being dependent on God. Here's what He desires instead. Calling the 12 to Him, He sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were His instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Dependence on God and His people stood in contrast to the merchants, the beggars of the day. It stood in contrast to the Greek cynic philosophers who traveled around and were allowed to carry a begging bag and bread. God is saying, no, you are called to be different. You are to be dependent on me. You are to be dependent on the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's radical. That's different. It's the dependence upon God. And they were faithful. They were obedient. Two by two, they went and they were faithful. And here's what happened, verse 12 and 13 again. They went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Why does it not happen like that today? Why doesn't it happen like that today? There are parts in the world where it does still happen like that today, where the people truly are dependent upon God and His power, not their own resources, not their guys, not their gals. Why doesn't it happen? Why doesn't it happen more today? Verse 5 and 6. He could not do any miracles there except lay His hands on a few sick people and heal them. And He was amazed at their lack of faith. It's not comfortable to look at that story and say, do we lack the faith? But I have to wonder if maybe that's exactly what's going on. Why is the church so powerless in today's culture? Maybe it's because we have become so dependent on ourselves and less dependent on God. Just thinking out loud, pray with me about it. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, forgive us when we become so dependent on our own resources that we leave you completely out of the equation. Or if we don't leave you out of the equation, you really just get a token role in there. God, we know that is not what you desire. What you desire is what you've laid out here in your word for us. That we become dependent upon you. That ministry happens when we seek your will and your power and your guidance. God, forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us of our self-dependence. Help us to seek your face, the blessings that you bestow as we walk in step with you. God, we pray that this week, even this week, we would test you and trust you as you guide us into bold new areas of ministry in our own lives, individually, and perhaps even corporately. God, make yourself real to us and give us the recognition we need to see you at work and join you in that work. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you don't know this Jesus, if you don't know this Son of God, the man that astounded people with his knowledge and wisdom and his deeds, he has an invitation for you today. Come, receive him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front in just a moment when we sing. I'll be glad to talk with you about how you can have a personal relationship with the Son of God who was sent to redeem you from your own sinfulness. It's a beautiful picture of redemption. I'll be glad to share it with you. If you're here this morning, you are a believer, but you say, Raymond, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've been walking down that path. I've been depending on myself. I've cut God out of the equation. Today is your day to get back on track. It's as simple as turning around. Repentance means 180-degree turn and going back to God in his presence, his path, his way. If you're here this morning and say, wow, it's, you know, been visiting with you, love to be a part of this congregation, we'd love to have you. I'll be glad to share with you ways that you can be a part of this fellowship in church membership in official capacity. Be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I invite you to be seated for just a moment. Martha, will you come join me up here? Martha Hare is coming this morning. She is coming by transfer of letter from a sister fellowship here in the city. And if you will encourage her and continue to encourage her, because we've been encouraging, haven't we? Okay. All right, good. If you will continue to encourage her as she becomes a part of this body in more and more ways, would you say with me, amen?
Amen.
We're delighted to have you with us in an official capacity, and I invite each of you at the conclusion of the service, following the benediction and the response, Martha's going to be here. You come by and speak a word of encouragement to her. Would you do that? Good. Would you join me in standing now? Stay right here. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. God, we pray that you would walk with us, that we would seek to know you more completely, even as you reveal yourself to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.